All right, I'm looking forward to hearing Brother Larry. He's no stranger to us at all. And hearing Brother Luke talk about just filling God's hand like Preacher preached last week, that's what Brother Larry's been doing. And he's a Sunday school teacher. He goes out on Saturdays on the bus route and leads the Abundant Life on Saturday at 1 o'clock. And he's just filling God's hand wherever God can use him. And I'm sure this morning, no doubt, he'll bring a challenging message for each one of us. So we'll pray, and then we'll have our special, and then Brother Larry will come and preach to us this morning. Let's pray. Our Father, again, we thank you this morning as we come and approach another Sunday morning. God, we need your strength. We need your power to stay focused on what you have for us this morning. I do pray that you'd use Brother Larry. Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit get a part of this service. You'd be here and a part of us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Oftentimes I've tried to live my life according to my will. When darkness comes, it's difficult to rest and just be still. But Lord, you are my shepherd that guides me in the way, and I will learn this glorious truth if I your word obey. You're all I need, all I need. You're the Lord of everything. All I need, all I need. This is why I humbly sing. Your strength is sustaining, and your grace has made me free. You're my heart's lone desire. You're all I need.
By wanting more, I've wanted less than all you've given me. You gave your all by laying down your life on Calvary.
So I surrender all, Lord, my best to you I give.
And thank you now for giving me a reason to live. You're all I need,
all I need.
You're the Lord of everything. All I need, all I need. This is why I humbly sing. Your strength is sustaining, and your grace has made me free. You're my heart's long desire. You're all I need. You're all I need. You're the Lord of everything. All I need. This is why I humbly sing. Your strength is sustaining, and your grace has made me free. You're my heart's long desire. You're all I need.
More than enough, you're
If you got a Bible, let's look at John chapter number 9. John chapter number 9. We're going to look at verses 1 through 7. John chapter number 9, please. While you're looking for that, let me say I am completely grateful to the pastor for allowing me to stand behind his pulpit. I say that probably every time I come up here, but I hope you guys understand that I'm not a fool. I act like it sometimes, but I'm not a fool. And I realize how big of a responsibility that this is and what a great man of God that he is. And that, you know, he doesn't let just anybody get behind this pulpit. And so it means a lot. I sent him a text this morning to tell him that. I really appreciated him even considering to let me do that. We have a lot of fine men around here, staff and otherwise, and he's got a lot of people he could choose from. And for him to choose me, you know, it really means a lot. Want to say thank you so much to, of course, my family. You know, I love them so much. And they really are the bright spot of my life. You know, you need something to keep you happy. And that's definitely my happiness there. I appreciate them and all that they mean to me. I appreciate my class. I love you guys. I appreciate so much the people that come week after week. You don't have to. Sometimes I probably give you reasons not to, but you come. And so I appreciate that. I have said before, I really think I have some of the best people in the world that come to my class, and I appreciate them from the bottom of my heart. They make me feel way better than I probably deserve to, but I appreciate it so very, very much. And lastly, I just wanted to say a special thank you to a special couple to me here in the church. That would be Brother and Mrs. Griffin. Sometimes life hands you a lot of things that you don't want. Life isn't always fun. It's not everything you always want it to be. And you know, my dad's not around. My mom's in heaven. And sometimes, I'll be honest with you, it gets lonely. And one of the great things about life is that God will allow people to come into your life to help fill a void. And both of them have just been a blessing to me. They've treated us like we're family. They've got their people, their family here and in other places, got kids and grandkids, and yet they still take time for us. And I appreciate that more than they know. You know, it makes it a little easier. It makes it a little bit better when you know you got good people like that who don't have to, but they want to. And they just love you just because. They've known me for a long time, so they got plenty of reasons not to love me. But but they love you anyway, and I can't articulate what I would like to say. But I mean it from the bottom of my heart. I appreciate both of you. I'm so glad that God allowed us to cross paths and we're in each other's lives. And I sure hope that you know I don't take it for granted. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. If you got a Bible, would you stand with me, please? John chapter number 9. And we're going to start in verse number 1. We'll read through verse number 7. The Bible says, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And said unto him, Go washed in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore, and washed, and came seeing." You know, this is an incredible story. Really one of the most profound stories that happened during the time of Jesus. It really just blows your mind of what happened here. And I want to kind of take something that they asked in verse number 2. If we'll look again, it says, "And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Do you understand that the reason that the disciples asked this was that it was typical in those days that whenever somebody has some kind of an infirmity, especially that like blindness or maybe lameness or something of that case, it was always tied to sin. They weren't just asking a ridiculous question. They were being honest. They didn't know why this happened. And they said, "Lord, could you explain it to us? Did he do something wrong or did his parents do something wrong?" And Jesus goes on to tell him, no, that wasn't the case. But it got me to thinking, how many times in life are we faced with situations that we don't know why? That we can't understand? That we don't have an answer to? And so I want to try to give you a little bit of an encouragement today. I want to try to give you a little bit of help today using these verses. And I want to preach a message today called, It Had to Happen. It Had to Happen. Let's pray. Dear Father, Lord, we thank you for today. I thank you for these dear folks for coming to church on a Sunday when the pastor's not here, Lord, and the faithfulness, Lord, to be here and to be a part of the service. And boy, I'm indebted to them. And I just pray, God, that you would fill me with your power, that you would use me, Lord, please, to help somebody today. Help somebody go home different than the way they came. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You can be seated. It had to happen. You know, we are constantly faced with one of the greatest questions that mankind faces. Why did this happen? You know, every day you can wake up and hear some kind of terrible news and you think to yourself, why? Why does a man go down in Florida and just start indiscriminately shooting people? Why? And we, so many times, weep tears, and so many times we're brokenhearted, and so many times we go through a lot of just anguish of mental acuity because we're trying to figure out, man, what could have caused this? What could have made this to happen? And boy, it's a question that, quite frankly, it'll keep you up at night. See, I believe with all my heart, everybody in this room has something in their life that they have asked the question, why did this happen? Why am I facing this? Why do I have this problem? Why am I going through what I'm going through? And so many times it wrecks us and it destroys us and it eats us alive, and we just really, it's so tough to try to come to a conclusion of what does it mean? I believe there's four major ways that people deal with things that they don't understand. First of all, we live in confusion. We walk around just, oh, I don't know. What am I going to do? You just throw your hands up and you just, I don't know. I believe, secondly, that people live in depression. It weighs down on them so much that many times they can't even face the day. And it's hard on them. And by the way, I'm going to be very honest today. Some of y'all, you know, the sin of Christianity is we've learned to play the game. And so many of us are just so good at putting on the facade and wanting everybody to think we're okay when the truth of the matter is you're not. And the best thing that could ever happen in your life is when you can look yourself in the mirror and say, you know what, everything ain't right. And I know that's not good English, but I said it anyway. I believe another thing that we deal with is anger. We get upset at the happenings that we don't understand. You know, sometimes people are so frustrated and angry, they don't even know why. They just, it's because they have no answer. And anger spills out, and it encompasses their life. And let me say lastly, I believe that sometimes we live in denial. Kind of what I talked about a second ago. We won't even admit to ourselves that something's wrong. We try to act like everything's okay. We got our tie just right. We come to church. We say, hey, man, brother, how you doing? You know, we got our Bibles. We got it all together. Everything looks great. But in the inside, we're dying. But we can't admit it even to us, because that would admit weakness, and God forbid Christians be weak. I believe those are four of the greatest issues that we deal with when we struggle up against a problem that we don't understand. But I want you to understand that none of these are the way that God deals with things that happen. None of these are the way that God wants us to handle. See, what I want to do today is I want to show you a couple of ways that God would like for you to handle the things that happen that you can't understand. You know, you can put whatever you want to on this. I can give you a whole list of stuff, but you know what I'm talking about. It's the problems of life. Everybody here has something that they can honestly say, you know, I just don't get that. But God has an answer for you. God has a way that He wants you to deal. And so I want to talk to you for just a few minutes about that. If you got a Bible, look at 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, and we're going to look at starting at verse number 8. This is a very famous verse. I know most of you probably know it by heart. But the Bible says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour." I don't know if you know it or not, you got an enemy. You got somebody who's looking, the Bible says, to devour. He's not playing around. He's not doing, you know, nipping at your ankle or something like that. The Bible says he wants to devour. I don't know how you take that, but I take that to eat that completely. He's out to get somebody. Look at verse number 9. The Bible says, "Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." So God says, hey, I know we got a devil that's out trying to get you, but he said, what I want you to do is I want you to resist him. And he said, I want you to also know that there are afflictions in the world that are exactly like yours. You're not the only one going through it. There's a whole lot of folks that are dealing. He said, I want you to hold on, but here's what I want you to see. Look at verse number 10. The Bible says, but. Whenever you see the word but in the Bible, understand that always shows difference. Whenever God uses that word, it shows difference. Conjunctions mean so much in the Bible. When you read that, always remember, God is about to tell me something different. So he started out saying that the devil is out to get people and to hold on because, man, you got to be careful. He'll devour you if you're not careful. He says, but let me show you something different. What's the difference? He said, but the God of all grace, who have called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after, can somebody say after? After that ye have suffered a while. So it's not before, after that ye have suffered a while. Then what does the Bible say? Make you perfect. That means complete, mature. Get you to the place where God wants you to be. Then it says establish. That means to make a foundation. Give you something to stand upon. You know, one of the things that's hard about going through something you don't understand, sometimes you feel like you're on shaky ground. But God says, after, it's going to establish you. Oh, we'll read on. But then it says, strengthen. How many people would be willing to testify, I felt weak? But God says, after, you'll be strengthened. Then he goes on and he says, in the last part there, settle you. Sometimes you're an emotional wreck. You got so much going on in your heart and in your mind, you don't know what to do. But God says, after, it'll settle you. You won't have to pop no pills. You won't have to go to drinking. You won't have to lose your mind. That'll settle you. So I want to say, first of all, it had to happen. Why? For my personal growth. It had to happen for my personal growth. Do you know that God wants to use that suffering to, what did he say? He said, I'm going to make you perfect. I'm going to establish you. I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to settle you. I don't know what you call that. I call that growth. One of the greatest truths you will ever learn in your Christian life is this. I could not be what I am if it hadn't happened. The things that have happened in your life have created who you are today. Whether you understand it or not, for your own personal growth, God says, I had to make that happen so you could be who you are today. See, some of y'all who are teaching, you couldn't teach what you teach if it hadn't happened. For some of us who are up here preaching, we couldn't preach what we preach if it had not happened. For those of us that are trying to raise families, and maybe you learned some things that went wrong in your family, but now you got a different kind of family. You couldn't be who you are today if it had not happened. See, it's for your own personal growth. You could not be the person you are today had not God allowed some stuff you didn't understand. It had to happen. You know, the Bible tells us that there are 9 fruits of the Spirit. You know that I couldn't love if it had not happened. Do you understand that I could not have joy if it had not happened? Do you understand I wouldn't know peace if it had not happened? Do you understand that I wouldn't be long-suffering if it had not happened? I wouldn't be able to be gentle if it had not happened. I could not have goodness if it had not happened. I wouldn't have faith. if it had not happened. I couldn't show meekness if it had not happened. I couldn't have temperance if it had not happened. So much of your growth was dependent on the things that you wish never happened, but God said that's why it happened, to make you what you are today. To make you what you are today. Sometimes we get angry. Sometimes we're in denial. Sometimes we're confused. Sometimes we're walking around just wondering, why did this have to happen? I'll tell you why it had to happen. You had to grow. You had to grow. You had to grow. And God says, you know, I'm going to have to go to some extreme measures to make this happen. You ever thought about birds? The baby bird is born and he's sitting in the nest. And the mama bird provides everything for him. Brings the worms. Provide the habitat, protects them in the cold and the weird. But there comes a day when he's got to fly. And what does that mama bird do? She pushes him out the nest. And she says to him, well, you go fly or die. What do I do? Aren't you glad your mom didn't do that to you? You're going to be out. But the truth of the matter is that that bird would not be able to spread his wings. That bird could not soar through the sky as we see them sometimes and look at the majesticness of it all if mama hadn't kicked him out and said, you got to fly. I come to tell you today that God says it's time for you to fly. I got to kick you out the nest. I got to have some stuff happen that you don't understand. But it's all for the purpose of to make you somebody better. To make you somebody better. So that when it's all said and done, you can walk away not bemoaning what has happened, but rather rejoicing that, man, after it was done, whoo, I got strengthened. After it was done, I got settled. After it was done, I was a new man. I feel different now. I've learned some things that I never would have learned before. Oh, praise God that after the suffering, it made me better. I don't know about you, but that ought to make somebody rejoice. I'll make somebody happy to know that God is using what I don't understand to make me into what I need to be. You know, I talked a little bit earlier. My dad left when I was 3. You know, sometimes kids mock that type of thing. And I would hope for you teenagers and kids that if you know somebody in your youth group that doesn't have a dad around, that you wouldn't laugh at that. When I was growing up, people laughed at me. And I'll be honest with you, it hurt. You know, we make jokes and, you know, and say all these little things and it hurts. I wish I could tell you what it feels like to have a parent walk out on you. For those of y'all who've been down that path, you know what I'm talking about. It hurts. You wonder, what's wrong with me? Why didn't you want to stick around for me? Wasn't I worth it? It hurts. I remember growing up, my father's mother, my grandmother, would always try so hard to try to push us together, but my dad just wasn't interested. We would go and see my grandmother and visit with her. She lived on the west side of Chicago there. And, you know, I can remember it as clear as day. There'd be times right across the street, there was a plaza from my grandmother's house. There was a grocery store, a restaurant, and a liquor store. And my dad would be standing across the street from my grandmother's house with a 40-ounce in his brown paper bag, drinking across the street. All 3 of us kids would be sitting on my grandmother's porch. He wouldn't walk across the street to talk to us. He wouldn't walk across the street. I don't say that to badmouth my dad. I say that to encourage some of y'all who have one to quit crying. Your dad shows up to work every day, does everything he can for you. Nobody's perfect. You hate him, and then guys like me just wish dad would come across the street. But I tell you all this to say this. For a long time, I never understood why that had to happen. Why did I have to go through my dad not caring enough to be involved in my life? But I understand it now. See, I got 2 kids. See, and I'm determined, more than y'all could ever know, to be the father that I never had. They will not wake up with dad not being there. When they go to bed at night, their daddy going to be in the house. When they wake up in the morning, their daddy's going to be there. When they have ball games, he's going to show up. When it's time to read the Bible, he'll be there to open the book. When it's time to feel some love, dad's going to give it to you. Why? Because dad knows what it's like to be empty without one. And it has pushed me and propelled me and made me decide that I'm going to be the father that I never had. Personal growth came because of what I went through. What is it in your life that God has put you through to make you better? To make you better. To cause you to take the next step. Would you look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, please? 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. Look at verse number 3. The Bible says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." Please listen to verse number 4. "Who comforted us in all our tribulation." What's the reason? That word "that" means here's the reason why he does that. Why? "That we may be able to comfort" who? Oh, please, somebody. Who? Them. "That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounded by Christ." Do you know that the Bible says God will allow you to go through something and give you comfort so that someday you can help somebody else? So that someday with the comfort that God gave you, you can now take that comfort and give it to someone else. You know, I said first of all that it had to happen for my personal growth. Let me say secondly, it had to happen for someone else's gain. There's somebody out there who's waiting on you to receive the lessons that God is trying to teach you. They're waiting on you to wake up and to realize that instead of crying and being upset and being all bothered, that the truth of the matter is he put you through this because the comfort which he's going to give you someday, you're going to give to somebody else. Do you know the Christian life is not about us? We're always supposed to be about Jesus, first of all, but others. Others. And God gives us these verses and says, "Hey, I want you to know that I'm allowing stuff to happen so that somebody else can be blessed." Can I tell you today that your life has purpose? Whether you understand that or not, your life has purpose. You are not just a happenstance. The things that happen to you aren't just 'cause. All of it. What does Romans 8:28 say? "For all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." We know all of it works together for something. Whether we understand it or not, you have purpose to your life. And sometimes we're angry and we're in denial and we're confused and we think to ourselves, "I don't see how there can be any good in this." And yet God says, "Oh, but I see. I got to give you this. I got to help you through this so that someday you can turn around and help somebody else." I have told my class many a times, I could not have started Abundant Life on Saturdays if it had not been for what I went through. Watching my dad love and alcohol more than he loved his kids broke my heart. But I hate to tell you, you know, some people see it as just an addiction thing. You know, there's people that are struggling with depression. There's people that are struggling with a lack of value of themselves. There are people that are struggling with all kinds of problems. And as I dealt with my family, with the different things that I've seen in my life, I thought to myself, somebody's got to have something that people can go to get picked back up. I would have never thought of that if I hadn't gone through what I went through. I would have never had that burden. I would have never had that desire. I would have never had that on my heart if I hadn't went through what I went through. See, there's purpose in that. You know, I started my Sunday school class because I realized in church that sometimes, as I spoke about before, there are people who get to a point where they're actually willing to admit everything is not okay. And one of the things that saddens me is some people mock my class. They feel like it's for riffraff. It's not. there's a lot of great people that come in there. The only difference between them and you is they're honest. And they can look themselves in the mirror and say, you know, I need something that could help me to take that next level in my life. And boy, how many times I would walk around church and I would watch people go through stuff and they would quit. I don't know how many times I sat in preacher's office and I said, preacher, what happened to so-and-so? And he said, well, they quit. Man, what happened to this person? What happened to that person? Well, they gave up. And it would break my heart because I would think to myself, you know, I've got something to say that I think could help them. Yeah. It would break my heart. You can ask preacher if this is true. I don't know how many times I sat in that back room there and told him, I said, preacher, I said, man, if you know somebody's getting like that, man, send them my way. I hate to see people leave the will of God, leave church, leave the things of God because they can't handle it. You know what's sad is your church has an answer for you, but you're too proud to get it. My goodness, would somebody wake up and realize that, man, I'm falling apart. I need something. And God has brought somebody who understands it and who can help you. Would you take the hand? Or rather, you sit there and say, nobody cares at that church. Nobody wants to be a part of it. Come on, man. I can't speak for everybody, but I know what we're trying to do. And I could not have started that had I not seen the need. You know, when I preach, I come with a desire to give you something that's real. I think that's one of the reasons some people appreciate my preaching. I don't come to be a big shot. I'm not getting paid. My name won't be anywhere. I won't be in a paper. Probably in a couple of weeks you may forget what I've taught. But if I could help you, that's what I want to do. If I could bless somebody, that's what I want to do. When I come into church, y'all see me. I'm not a big shot. I don't come around trying to act like I'm somebody. Truth of the matter is, if I don't say anything, you probably wouldn't know I was there. I just want to be a blessing. I want to be a help. Why? Because I see Christians who are looking for something authentic, who are looking for somebody who really cares, who are looking for somebody to actually be concerned about where they're at. And so when I come to preach, God has put that burden on my heart. Hey, I put you through the things you went through so that someday you could come out and you could help folks with your experiences to take them to the next level. You know, sometimes it had to happen for somebody else's gain. It had to be somebody needed to see what you've been through. You know, I've told this story before, but my mom was murdered back in 2004. I can't believe it. It's been 12 years, 13 years here. May 16, 2004. It seems like it was yesterday. Now, I remember how bad that hurt. You know, I talked about my dad wasn't around. It was us four. It was me, my brother, my sister, and my mom. You know, my mom wasn't terribly old when she had us. I always thought in my head as a kid she'd be around for a long, long time. But of course, life doesn't always work like that. You know, my kids have never met their grandmother. And I hate that. I wish it was different. And I don't know how many times I've struggled with that and just wondered, Lord, why did this have to happen? But I remember several years ago, there's a couple that was coming to church here, Will and Sammy Huntley. And preacher had me preach during, we were doing those bus bonanzas back in the day. Brother Caleb would take the bus workers and then the rest of the church would stay here. And so because half of the church was gone, preacher would have everybody move up. And I was preaching to the main service that day, and Will and Sammy ended up having to sit on the front row, which I'm sorry, fellas, that's a tough place to be when I'm preaching, but the front row there. And I remember God laid it on my heart to share the story of my mom dying and what it did in my life. And I'll never forget watching Sammy sitting there, and she just fell apart. I didn't know why. I thought, well, I guess it's kind of a sad story. You know, she feels bad for me, you know, whatever. They came up to me after the service, and Will said, "Brother Larry, you don't know what you did." I said, "What?" He said, "You know, Sammy's mother died unexpectedly." He said, "She's had a tough, tough time with it." He said, "But what you said, you really helped her." I'll never forget the next day, preacher called me at home and said, "You'll never believe who came to my office today." This is a Monday. I said, "Who?" He said, "Will Huntley came to my office, and he was telling me about your sermon. And he said they were kind of just coming to church, but not quite being all the way in. And he told preacher, he said, man, we're going to get in. We're going to get in." And really, to the day that they moved, they got in. And what a blessing that was. I'm not saying that to brag on myself. I'm telling you something that I didn't understand, God used years later to bless somebody else to help her get through her valley. Sometimes it's not about you. Sometimes you got to care about somebody else. And God will break you sometimes so that you can bless somebody else. It had to happen for someone else's gain. I appreciate the Lord allowing me to be a blessing to those folks. And I wonder how many times could we be a blessing to somebody, but we just don't get that it's not about us. It's about helping someone else. Look back again at John chapter 9, please, and I'll be done. John chapter number 9. John chapter 9. Start back at the story that we started with. The Bible says that the disciples were confused. How is this possible that this man was born blind? Jesus, could you explain this to us? And look at verse number 3. The Bible says, Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." You know, that word manifest means to be made known. Jesus said, this happened in this man's life so that the works that I'm about to do could be made known in him. Made known to who? To other people. Why? Why would God want the works to be made known? So that people could give him glory. See, do you understand that sometimes God will do something in your life that is so impossible, that is so difficult, that is so hard to get through, that he does it on purpose so that when he brings you out, people will have to say, "That was God. That was God. There's no way that they could have come out of that. There's no way that they could have fixed that themselves." You know, sometimes it had to happen for God's glory. It had to happen. You know, it's a human emotion to sometimes feel like, well, that's not fair. Why should I have to go through something just so God can get glory? I come to tell you today a couple of verses to help you with that. First of all, in Psalms 19:1, the Bible says, "The heavens declare the glory of God." Can I tell you, creation itself talks about his glory. Why shouldn't you? The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 7, "Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory." You were created for his glory, whether you understood it or not. Then the Bible says in Psalms chapter number 29 and verse 2, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name." So not only were you created for glory, but God commands you to give glory. He said, give him the glory due. Due is means you owe something, friend. We got to build this due. You owe it. And God says, hey, you owe this to me. Give me my glory. I know sometimes it feels like it's not fair. I know sometimes it might feel like, boy, why do I have to go through this? Why do I have to, you know, just so God can get glory? But you got to remember, man, he's the creator of all. See, when you are the creation and the creator says, do what I say. See, my mama had a saying when we was growing up. I don't know how y'all talk to y'all kids. Maybe this is just a black thing. I don't know. But, you know, my mom used to tell us all the time, man. She'd be like, we get to thinking we were big and tough and all that kind of stuff. My mom said, I brought you in this world. I will take you out. And boy, I'll be so scared. I'll be like, man, and that woman, she, you know, she stood. I shot past her, and she stood like that. That woman scared me to the day she died. I used to think to myself, I think she will kill me. I think she really would. It's crazy. See, I was her creation. She was the creator. And she said, boy, when I tell you to do something, do it. And it struck the fear of God in my heart. See, when you're the creator, you can talk to your creation like that. Not only that, but I come to tell you, is anybody here glad they're saved? Is anybody here glad that they're on their way to heaven? That God has set you free? That the chains of sin have been broken? Is there anybody who wouldn't mind saying, thank you, Lord? Oh, I come to tell you, because of salvation, you ought to give Him glory. He owe Him a debt you can never repay. That ought to be enough to make some of y'all warm up and put a smile on your face. Man, you got saved. What a difference salvation has made. That's one of the reasons. You know, God wants, God commands, God deserves for us to give Him glory. It had to happen so that He could have glory. You know, when I was born in the projects of Chicago. Before they tore them all down, we were in the Rockwell Gardens projects on West Adams Street there. And I remember, many times my mom wouldn't let us go outside to play because all they did was shoot. You see that on TV now in Chicago. That's, you know, by the way, don't live in Chicago. But anyway, that's all they do is shoot and act a fool. And boy, it used to be so rough on us, you know, because as a kid you want to go outside and play. But we always had to be inside because, you know, you couldn't take any of that. 3 years old, my dad walked out, as I talked about before. Back in 2004, my mom was murdered. Back in 2005, I sat for years looking for somebody. You know, and you know how it is. If you grew up in church, I'm going to be honest today. You know, you get made fun of sometimes because in church people get married young. You know, the 19, 20, 21, 22, that kind of stuff. You know, and I was heading towards 30, and I still hadn't found anybody, you know, that I was going to be married to. And that was tough, you know. And I had young guys who were talking smack because they had been married for 3 years, and, you know, and I'm still looking and this, that, and the other. But in 2005, I found somebody. I got married. In 2007, our son Josiah was born, 1 pound, 9 ounces. Fit in the palm of my hand. Doctors told us that they were pretty sure he wouldn't make it. If you ever want to go to a depressive place, go to a neonatal unit. Every day we would go in there, there'd be parents crying because they lost their kids. That was tough. I mean, and you know what was funny about it, Ray? My son was 1 pound, 9 ounces. There were some that were 4 pounds, 5 pounds. They lost their kid, but I kept mine. It's an amazing thing. Towards the 2008, my wife became pregnant with our second son, and she had a stillborn. That was hard. We barely got through Josiah, and then we have a stillborn. Right after that, I hope she doesn't mind me telling, my wife went into a deep depression. Didn't want to come out of the house. Struggled mightily with that. In 2011, she got pregnant with Chelsea. And, of course, we found out then, we didn't understand, but we found out that my wife wasn't supposed to have kids. She had a physical issue that was going on. We didn't know. The doctors didn't diagnose it at first. And all of a sudden, they tell us after we get pregnant for the third time, you know, oh, yeah, you guys should have never had any kids. Well, isn't that a blessing? You know. And she sat there, having to be on bed rest through the whole pregnancy. Some of y'all remember that. You came and brought food to our house and tried to help out. She had to put up with me taking care of the house and whatnot and stuff. I did good, though. But yeah. Lately, I've been diagnosed with keratoconus, which is a corneal disease in your eyes. People that know me well know my eyesight is rapidly deteriorating. I wear contacts that cost $1,000 a pair that help me, but even with the contacts, I still don't have great vision. And it's a horror thing because I can progressively see it's a progressive disease. It's getting worse as time goes on, and I can tell, you know, some of y'all look kind of fuzzy now, but I can tell as time is going on how tough that it's been getting. We've picked up some physical ailments and problems. I'm not going to go into all of that. Some of y'all are dealing with the exact same stuff. And then this past year, I probably had the most difficult financial year that I've ever had. I honestly, it was probably, I don't know. It's just been bad. 2016 was not my year. That's for sure. You know, sometimes you see these guys on TV talking about, you know, all the money you're supposed to have, and I'm trying to figure out where it's at. But 2016 was not my year. Now you say, why are you saying all of this? Because I come to tell you that even though I was in the projects, God kept me alive. Some children didn't make it out. I want to give him glory. I come to tell you today that even though my mom was killed, some people lost their mind after something like that. Yet I'm here today. I want to give him glory. Even though I went in 2005, I thought I would never get anybody. And finally, I married my wife, and she's been such a blessing to me. And God says, hey, man, give me my glory. And in 2007, my son was born 1 pound and 9 ounces. And they told us he wouldn't survive. But I don't know if you noticed or not. He's doing okay. And I want to say, I give God glory. In 2008, we went through that stillborn, and we didn't know how we were going to come out of it. And it felt so hard and so difficult. And my wife struggled so bad. But God brought us through, and I come to give him glory. And I come to 2011. My daughter was on bed rest the whole time, and we wondered what we were going to do. We couldn't have any more kids and things of that nature, but we survived, and I come to give God glory. I have a corneal disease, and my eyesight is getting worse, and sometimes I get down about that, but you know what? God is using me. God is blessing me, and I want to give him glory that in spite of it, I'm still okay. Oh, friend, I've had some physical issues and some stuff that has happened, but I'm still kicking. I'm still moving. God is still doing stuff. I want to give him glory. And I come to tell you that, yes, last year was our worst financial year. And I don't know what's ahead in the future, but I know this. The God who has proven himself over and over and over and over again is going to do it again. And I come to give him glory. I've come to give him glory. Oh, my friend, sometimes it had to happen for the glory of God. You may not like the fact that it's only for God's glory, but man, come on now. Seriously, he's God. He deserves it. He deserves it. Oh, man, he deserves it. If I could be a testimony to anybody that God's glory could be looked at and people could say, man, I don't know how that cat made it, but I know this. It must have been God. It must have been God. Because I know he would have lost his mind a long time ago. I'll say this and I'll be done. My wife lost her mom in 2003 to cancer. A lot of people don't know that because she doesn't get to get up and preach and do anything. Though she preaches to be at home. We've had all these problems with kids. You know, it's hurt me, but every woman in this room knows what the mother goes through is 10 times worse than what the husband goes through. As I said, she was so depressed after losing our son. I'll be honest with you, I wasn't sure she was going to come out of it. You know, she hasn't been able to go home since we've been married because I haven't been able to afford to do it. And it's lonely for her sometimes, not being able to go back to England and see her family and see all that they're doing. And time again, I've watched that lady go through all kinds of stuff. And yet she's risen above. When I look at her, I see God getting glory. I see, when I look at her, I see somebody that I know it'd be so easy for her to give up, but yet she presses on. It'd be so easy to say it's not worth it, but yet she's still fighting. I know for a long time she thought nobody noticed her, and she didn't have anything to do in this church. And this past year, pastor called her in and put her in charge of the nursery because I think he saw God on her. Now she teaches in the school. It's proof that sometimes it had to happen so that God could get glory. I believe when I look at my wife, I see God getting His glory because she won't quit. She won't give up. My message to you today as we give the invitation, are you going to give up on God? Are you going to quit? Or are you going to stick it through to give Him glory? Are you going to stick it through? Every head bowed, every eye closed, please. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Is there anybody that will say, Brother Larry, I heard what you had to say today, and I want to say that I've been saved. I am 100% sure that I am on my way to heaven. If that's you today, would you lift your hand? All right, put your hands down. Is there anybody today that would say, Brother Larry, I do not know that I am on my way to heaven? Is there anybody in the auditorium today that could say that? If that's you, would you lift your hand? All right. Now, here's the invitation, folks. It had to happen for your personal growth. It had to happen for someone else's gain. It had to happen for God's glory. I know people just like sitting in the pew, but wouldn't it be great if a bunch of us would get off of our blessed assurance and come on front and for a moment say, God, I never saw it that way. And I want to grow. I want to be somebody else's gain. I want to give you glory. Is there anybody today that would say, that's my prayer, that's my desire? Would you lift your hand? Would you lift your hand? All right. As the music starts to play, I hope you come and spend a few moments with the Lord. Would you come? Let Him know how you feel. Let Him know that you appreciate what He's done in your life. Would you just for a moment give Him a chance? He needs you to be honest, to be real. Go ahead. There's plenty of room. You can come. Give God glory today. Give God praise today. It had to happen.